broadcasting live from the West End Waltham in Boston, Massachusetts, for Vistage Executive Summit 2015. It's CEO exclusive. Now, here's your host, Soyini Koch.
And I also want to welcome my guest co-host, Greg Michaels, who is a regional consultant with Vistage.
Thank you, Soyini.
And our guest is Darren Lang.
Thank you.
Of Labor. And Darren, you want to tell us a little bit about what Labor does?
Sure. Labor is actually a play on words. Labor is L-A for Lang and B-U-R for my business partner, Seth Burr. So we came together as friends in college and grew up in placing contractors for project purposes and started our own firm in 2008, which was a great time, character building time to start a firm, of course. And Labor is a professional services firm that focuses on optimizing business process and technologies for our Fortune 1000 companies or large privately held companies. So our folks are the arms and legs to projects that allow companies to integrate applications, allow them to re-engineer business processes, allow them to move processes from onshore to offshore. We provide the domain expertise on an interim basis to help companies get that done.
And so what are the trends in your industry that you think other middle market CEOs need to know?
I think there's a growing trend, evolving trend, that the variable workforce is here to stay much more than it ever has been. I've lived through a couple of the recessions and recoveries, and I can say after the 01 recession and the respective recovery that the faucet was turned back on, per se, to bring full-time equivalent positions back up to where they were pre-recession. And post the 08 recession, there's a feeling that the workforce needs to be more variable than ever, and companies are running very lean and mean, as they say, and keeping that variable workforce on hand to be able to ramp up and ramp down as work ramps up and ramps down.
It's interesting you use the word variable workforce. Can you describe that a little bit more for our listeners?
Sure. So in simplest terms, a variable workforce is a workforce of temporary personnel. And temporary personnel exists now at all levels. 50, 60 years ago, the temp, quote unquote, was invented as more of a clerical or secretarial type placement. And now it has evolved to very skilled levels in technology and finance and healthcare and science, to the point that most every firm has a contingent of temporary personnel on staff at all times to help them with project peaks and valleys.
And you know, the temporary worker and the 1099, the independent contractor, is that grouped into what you call the variable personnel?
Yes. And anyone that is not a full-time permanent employee of a company would be included in that variable workforce, contingent labor, temporary personnel, however one chooses to classify it.
So you almost have it's a compound situation with your company, because you deal with people and the CEOs of your companies deal with people. So you're dealing with the people of the people. Everyone has people issues. So how do you help companies manage those people issues?
Well, we start
a specific way.
It's a great question, Greg. And we start by acknowledging that the number one asset of any firm is, in fact, its people. So let's start there. When it comes down to the selection process of your people, we need to realize that this is not choosing one type of paperclip or envelope over another and looking at it from a cost perspective strictly. We need to look at the fact that this is a very important hire. And so we help our clients understand that it's not just about the bullet points on paper, but also about the human behind those bullet points. And that is what we take a great deal of pride in, is that we're much more than just matching skills. We're actually matching a human to the culture and human behavior to the culture within a company. And we approach it that way with our CEOs and their respective directs, CFOs, CIOs, et cetera.
What it piqued my ear is, it sounds like you two have a pretty good working relationship, and I'm sure there's been some sacrifices along the way. Is there any one sacrifice you'd like to share with us that contributed to, you know, where you are today, where the company is today?
Sure. I mean, there's many, and I'd like to include our families in that first and foremost, that they have sacrificed very much for Seth and I to excel and give back to the business community and the communities we serve in general, and ultimately give back to our families who have sacrificed. And then I'd say also in addition to that, we've had to sacrifice for each other and to be a great partner to each other. We really had to check the ego at the door and understand that we're in it together. And most of my friends and business colleagues are frankly surprised that 7 years later, here we are and we haven't imploded and, you know, killed each other per se, right? So, that I'd say that has been probably the ultimate business sacrifice is to put actually the business partner ahead of our own needs.
Just so take us back to 2008. When, did you start? What month did you start in 2008?
Sure. So July of 08, July 2nd, actually, we were founded. We had a 2-year non-competition agreement with a publicly traded firm that we left. And we left as the number 2 and 3 producers in the world in our product line. So we also left with a great deal of integrity and concern for our former employer and let them know that we planned on building a business the right way and honoring our non-competition agreement. So as the Great Recession was unfolding, we went outside of our radius of the non-compete and went to Chicago and New York because we couldn't be in Boston. And we were introducing ourselves as a boutique firm that no one had ever heard of that is often confused as a French firm, labor or labor as in forklift drivers and light industrial folks. So it was a character building experience, but it was quite a magical moment in the sense that everything we did from there on out was done in the spirit of the consummate reciprocal relationship, what Seth and I refer to as the golden rule, between ourselves and everyone that we met along the way. We approached every relationship as a win-win. And I think for sure that's why we are where we are today.
You actually answered my question about sacrifice. Sounds like that was a noble sacrifice you made, doing the right thing, building the company right from the beginning. You talked about 08. It was a very tumultuous time. I was actually a financial advisor at the time, so you couldn't have been in a worse business.
Sure.
So what are you doing for the next tough time? The Economist today is going to be talking about 2019 being a soft patch in our economy, and maybe there's an even rougher patch coming in 2030. Mm-hmm. So what are you doing to brace yourself or prepare to be resilient for the next one?
It's a great question. We are, and I've heard this a lot today, trying to be ahead of the curve, of course, right? CEOs are talking about that. And so we're trying to pre-identify pain points for organizations that will be a resilient need through a recession. And lucky for us that temporary personnel of all levels, and we represent the most skilled of temporary personnel in the areas of technology and finance, the temporary personnel in general is typically embraced during a recession and post-recession because of the need to be so lean and to have as little of permanent staff as possible. But we're trying to pre-identify pain points, identify the next mobile before mobile comes out and you're riding the back end of the curve and trying to play catch up, or identifying the next healthcare need, the next regulatory need, and build our network of contingent personnel around a need that's going to be needed through that recession and be able to be one of the few that's able to provide it and needed versus just having the faucet turned off.
And so you seem like a sort of inspired. So what inspires you? What drives you? And therefore that drive filters down through the company and then impacts the communities.
So. Sure. To me, I get out of bed every day inspired by the fact that we're helping companies become more efficient and effective, and we're helping our contingent workers become more successful in their careers and pursue project work that's consistent with not only their skills, but also where they want to develop and add value to a company. So we're helping two parties, and we like to think of it as the win-win-win, because we obviously win with our client companies and our contingent workers. And we're happy that that has also allowed us to give back to the communities that we are serving, meaning Boston and Chicago, New York, et cetera. And we're excited that we're in a position where we can give back. And it's only because of the great people that we work with internally, our client companies, and our contingent workers.
One of the things that I'm very interested to hear is, how are you managing your fast growth? Because you've been growing pretty quickly. How are you guys managing that?
Not very well, actually.
Well, that's honest and humble. Two things that CEOs aren't necessarily always known for.
Seth's trying to make me more humble over the years, but we're not managing it as well as we want to. We have recently decided that we are going to reorganize internally, and I'm going to be focused on the front office, and Seth is going to be focused on the back office, and we're really going to divide and conquer versus both of us trying to tackle everything. And then I've heard some other CEOs talk today about hiring great people that can then help lead and inspire beneath Seth and I, and allow us to free up to do what we do best, which is to get out in front of customers and tell our story. So part of it is an organizational change. Part of it is hiring. Part of it is training. We recently put together a world-class training, which we're very proud of. And the other piece is knowing how to hire and fire. Believe it or not, we're phenomenal at finding people for our clients, but we're not the best hiring managers ourselves. And we often, like most employers, probably hang on too tight, don't admit that it's not the right fit. And, you know, you try to change people. And so we're learning that it's, you know, what we do is not the right fit for everyone. And we need to be honest about that and help our employees understand when it might not be the right fit as well.
So you're going to be today in a room of 200 CEOs who may have a little bit of experience with that. What are the two or three questions that you think as you go around the rooms today that you want to ask and get some perspective on?
I'd love to know their insight into the mindset of the modern employee. That's something that Seth and I are very, very interested in and very much pursuing a path of trying to understand what's important to our people, which, because right now it's very different than it was to me when I started my career. And that's great. We need to be the ones that evolve with that and figure out, how do we strike that balance of happiness, which equals more productivity and which creates more happiness for them and everyone's happy. So I'd like to know more about that and their perception of what makes a happy employee and what are employees focused on. I'd also be interested in hearing how in a commoditized world where anything that becomes valuable and of need becomes commoditized when everyone starts doing it, how are these CEOs trying to distinguish themselves and their brands? And in fact, what are their points of differentiation, right? Because that's what we're all trying to do. And lastly, training. Is there any particular training, behavioral training, sales training that these employees are leveraging that are helping their employees be more successful?
Great. Well, thank you so much for taking a little bit of time out of your day to share your experience with other CEOs, and then also, you know, sharing like what you're dealing with as well, because that's how we all learn. So very much appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Darren.
Thank you.
Enjoy the day.
This show is brought to you by Annona Enterprises, where strategy is your access to money and performance. Learn more at annonaenterprises.com.